My laundry's okay. gonna stop.
He just Welcome. Read my text, so okay. he's on his way.
Cool. Welcome everybody.
Oh, are we on? Is it happening?
Yeah, it's happening.
Well, okay. By the way, can I stop for a second? Taco, you look very tan.
Thank you.
Have you been sunning?
I went to Bonnaroo. You know, that's what happens when you go. When you leave the house, you get outside the sun, you get some nice tanning going on. So, yeah.
We have no sun in New York City. It's all smoke. It's all Canadian smoke. Yeah. Looky, there's Lord Taco. You got a Barry Quarter. How's Barry? Okay, good.
Okay, all right.
Doing great as always. And then Brian Stone, welcome to the show. Buddy, I haven't seen you in forever.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you? Look at this setup of yours.
It's actually close to somewhat professional for once.
Yeah.
I love it.
You have a professional setup, but yet no profession.
Well, that's true.
I think we could all say that, except for you, maybe.
One more special guest.
Oh, and a special guest of first PBR, 10:01 Eastern. Mm-hmm. Someone, have you checked that in yet? You should check that in.
I'll check it in.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Barry Quarter, are we online yet? Is Barry
Did I go away?
Yeah, you're back.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
All of a sudden, my entire computer system went crazy. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No need to apologize, Muffin. Everything's all right. How's Barry?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. I've been up since about 5. I am it's very almost, energized.
It's almost bedtime for you.
I know. The first lunch.
I've
cleaned. I've got the setup going. I'm ready. I'm excited about this.
Brian, I don't know if you know this, because for a long time you were waking up at 11, 12 o'clock during the day. But Barry and
I still do that.
Okay. Well, Barry and I's go-to lunchtime was 10:45. It was always, how can we be the first one in an Indian restaurant at 10:45?
That's insane.
I know.
You know, he's not lying either.
I know he's not.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, we're joined by Evan Bonnaroo, who I just don't see enough of. Okay, good.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, great. Thanks. Yeah, thank you for coming. Where is Evan Bonnaroo? Oh, goodbye.
And he's on the floor.
Glad you invited him. Perfect.
But it's all life alert.
This is how you. No kidding. Your camera just fell.
That's right.
This is how every weekend goes with me and Evan. At some point, we find ourselves on the floor. Never.
Usually
fails.
Not at the beginning of the day. Yeah. Though, right.
Yeah.
Hey, hit that life alert button. Get some help.
He's blurry. He's falling down. Wow. Someone come get their man. Somebody come get their man.
This is me after 12 PBRs.
Yeah.
Falling down, blurry.
Evan is still in Bonnaroo haze, apparently.
The whole idea here was to recap your Bonnaroo. I think he's done.
I think we did it. Yep. Things are coming. Show over.
Well played, Evan. See ya.
Yeah.
Happy
you got it.
Happy Canada Day.
Cheers. Is today Madison. Canada Day?
That's what Madison said.
Really? And all they got for us is this goddamn smoke. Thanks a lot.
Is that when Columbus found Canada? Is that what that is? I have no idea what
Canada. Yeah.
It wasn't Columbus. It was Dan Canada. It was a guy named Dan Canada.
He walked north and stepped over a line and said, this is Canada.
Okay. Hey, Brian, do you feel works. Better that for the first time ever, you are not the one that's causing all the technical issues?
I was actually just thinking that,
yeah.
I'm for once not the problem.
I know. You've gotten bailed out. I can't believe it. has there ever been a person that has ever bailed Brian out at camp? Brian is our go-to mascot of camp, who we usually kick, punch.
Yeah, I was
going to say
by mascot, you mean punching bag, but okay.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, semantics.
And you mean by we? You mean you usually punch and kick? Yeah.
I don't know. I think Barry's gotten a few good ones in.
I did early, but then I felt so bad for him, I just stopped.
I'm not trying to take. I'm not trying to take away from anybody else's contributions around here. I'm just
even docile, calm, lovely Taco gets a Brian shot in every now and then. It's just low hanging fruit.
I was about to say the exact same thing. It's right there. It's on a tee.
Yeah,
we got, Ham 2 is here.
Nice.
Oh, Ham 2.
That's Reed. That's Reed.
That's Reed.
Right?
That's Reed. Yeah.
Nice. Hi, Reed.
hi, Jake. Hi, Reed. So the thing about Ham 2 that I love so much is I've never seen – I can't believe he's still in one piece. He's a kid that could have gotten broken in half at the Knock Loose show, right? Did you see the picture? Did we post the picture on the thing, Taco?
It's on the video. You didn't watch the video?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, I know I haven't watched the video.
No, we didn't watch the video.
But I was so proud of Ham 2 just losing his mind. I mean, you could have he could have put a tent on top of that crowd and felt just as comfortable laying in it as he did crowd surfing. That was a great shot. The Hulu live stream nailed it. Oh, the happiest kid in the world. Brian Stone, let's start with you while Evan sits here and still cannot figure. Do you know Evan does this for a living? You do computers for a living. How have you screwed this up?
You know, that's my problem is I went too high tech.
This looks very high tech.
Yeah, I mean, that guy knows what he's doing right there.
Somebody hire him immediately.
Yeah.
Why did this not come up?
Okay. All right. Well, you sound great, at least. I'll give you that. All right. Well, let's start with going around the room. We've heard it from Barry and Taco. Oh, by the way, so thank you for joining our little live show. We try to do this once, maybe twice a year. And, you know, just it's as much as I can do to feel connected to Bonnaroo that I missed yet again. So let's start with Brian Stone. Brian, what did you take away from 2023? I think that you, of all of us, you probably have been to the most, right? Well, I think you got us.
He's been to all of them, so yes. No one has been to more.
Yeah, I've been to all of them. The first,
okay. I didn't know you went to all of them.
The very first year, it's a little bit of an asterisk. I jumped the fence on a Saturday night for Panic that night, and then that was it. So I didn't really know what it was yet. I didn't understand it yet. But by 03, I mean, 365 days couldn't get there quick enough to get back there for 03. So, yeah, technically I've got the
– Okay, so when we talk about, like, the past of Bonnaroo, since you went to the – you know, especially the first three, your idea from, you know, year one, year two to now –
Well, I was big into jam band music when it first became a thing. I was actually brand new to jam music at that time. So I was in a different world. That was a lifetime ago, 20 years ago. But it wasn't going to be sustainable that way. I mean, anybody you've talked to, from Ken to anybody else, knew that was talked about how that's not something that they were going to be able to sustain. And so I think it was six. I was just looking at it yesterday or the other day, actually, that Radiohead was the headliner, and that was kind of the first kind of move away from a strictly jam band kind of thing. And I remember at the time, I mean, I don't know if this is revisionist history or not, but I feel like I remember at the time this was a really cool move, because how many times can Dave Matthews, Trey, and Widespread Panic play this thing before everybody says I'm tired of it? So
can I we jump in as he? I mean, I want to hear this, because this is great, because Brian has a real perspective, having been there for all of them. But if you remember,
Brian, but he's only remembered half of them. Let's be honest.
We're going to get into that too, and I think that's a huge part of it. Seriously, but we had a conversation. You mentioned Ken. You're talking about Ken Weinstein.
Yeah.
We had a conversation Saturday in the media area. You were there, and Russ was there, and Kyle Bonnaroovian was there. He was asking me about who his Rushmore of Bonnaroovian was, and he had a real interesting take. It wasn't just your four best acts. He had a specific qualification for each. And one of the questions was Radiohead or McCartney? And I, of course, said McCartney. And Ken's take was Radiohead, because just like you said, it was what, 06? That shifted the whole Bonnaroo universe. It was Ken's argument, and I think Kyle's too, right? McCartney obviously is the high watermark for all of us, but that was 13. And so the Radiohead thing being so early kind of legitimized, if that's maybe too even a weak a word. But right, you remember what I'm talking about, Brian? And
I do. But I legitimize might be the right word, is in the sense of
shifted,
of the shifting into to an entire different orbit of fan. And I would say both those two. I'm not a big Rushmore content fan.
I appreciated Kyle's take on it.
Because Mount Rushmore, you know, you've got people that represent the nation's birth, growth, development, and preservation. So those were his four people that he picked as far as the Bonnaroo Rushmore, birth, growth, development, and preservation.
I love this idea that Brian hates the Rushmore analogy. Do you hate top five lists too? Okay. Do you hate just top five lists? You anti?
Why do you hate our country, Brian?
Brad, as lifetime radio guys, you know the Mount Rushmore in the sports talk universe is the laziest topic in the history of sports radio. You know this.
Kyle came strong with the whole.
I'm not trying to hate on Kyle. I love you, Kyle. This isn't about you, Kyle.
He doesn't even know who Kyle is.
I met him.
But anyway, yeah. So anyway, I hijacked the conversation. I want to hear the rest of Brian's thoughts on the weekend.
Yeah. Well, but before you get there, it's like I'm going to the Radiohead point. How have you seen it change from the first years to now? Because we've talked about how the world was so different at Bonnaroo in the first, like I've said a million times, Shakedown Street was a legitimate shakedown. There were people that were just off the street that could stand there without a ticket and sell you a dryer door. And I say that with all honesty because someone tried to sell me a dryer door. It was panic. It was constant panic all the time.
It was chaos, and I don't even know if you could call it organized chaos to a certain degree. It's like, it wasn't really jump the fence. There really wasn't one. I just walked in.
There wasn't a fence. That's right. Yeah.
And I mean, there was, but it was already toppled down. It was just a little.
Do you know how many people that we know that have told me the exact same story? You live in Chattanooga, you drive 45 minutes, and you could literally just walk in.
Just walk right in.
Yeah.
And there was no, I mean, even on Bonnaroo's best organized years, the new volunteers, the newer workers, they still don't know what's going on. A thing that big, you'll never have everybody on the same page as far as where everybody needs to go, all the answers you need, answered, or care. True. There's plenty of that too. This was nobody has any idea what's going on. It was mind blowing that first year. What I was looking at, and it fascinated me beyond belief. And for the next couple of years, getting more acclimated to how the festival worked, I'm still equally fascinated 20 years later. But to answer the question, what has changed? How's it? You know, what's the evolution look like from my perspective? Honestly, it's not that much different.
The feeling isn't.
Exactly. The essence, the soul of the festival is pretty damn similar to what it always was, and that's why I think it's so unique and became so beloved. It's not just, I get to go see some great music today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't. As me and we've all talked about, me and Taco the most recently, who's playing Bonnaroo this year?
I don't know.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter. It's fun to talk about, but it literally doesn't matter. And I think that was similar then as it is now.
Well, do you remember, like, it's 2005, right? And we were getting excited as to where they were putting the big heads. You know, like, that was where, like, the excitement. Now you have, what does Plaza 7 look like? The small things that they were doing and adding every year in the early years would get us so excited. And, you know, all we cared about when we got into Cineru is where are they putting the art installation?
Yeah.
Where are they putting the big heads?
The comedy tent. Did they change it a little bit? Is it over by the, is it over the corner? Do they move it closer to the tent? Yeah, little stuff like that.
I mean, do you remember the year? It must have been like 07 or 08. They finally figured out to take this tent and instead of doing it, turn it. Just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, we spent the entire weekend obsessing over that little detail.
Yeah. Trees. Yeah. That was so big.
The tiny little things that we've watched get added to this farm to now, it is this big, thriving entity that it's almost like the changes are too many to even count every year. But, man, those first years were like, oh, my God, there's AC in the comedy tent this year. I can't believe it.
The silent disco. Did they move it in proportion to somewhere else? Yes, yeah, little things like that.
Well, talking about little things.
We just didn't have very many.
And one of the things that is so weird to even say, the comedy tent was, to me, mind-blowing. When I got there and realized they have a comedy tent.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was neat.
I'm like, what the heck? I mean, this is a serious event. They have a comedy tent. You know, this just isn't live music. They have a comedy tent.
And
there's nothing more serious than a comedy tent.
Well, it was just the fact that there was something else, I guess, I'm saying.
But if you talk to any of those comics, they hated it.
Oh, I know. The things that not everything worked, but just the fact that they had something different like that was mind-blowing to me.
Well, yeah, and I'll never, like, that line for Conan O'Brien that year was completely out of control. I think it was time to shut the tent down after they got Conan. Okay, so fast forward, we'll get to Evan here in a second. Evan, thank you for, you know.
Yeah, at least, hang on, Evan, you know, we're coming. Yeah.
But Brian, so Brian, this year, what was your first response, your first thoughts about this year? After going every single year of your life.
If you're just talking about the overall weekend, just another incredible weekend. I mean, it's never not
Is it on
great.
Your Mount Rushmore?
It's on my Mount Rushmore. As a matter of fact,
this year, in fact, if you chisel out
three of those old men on there, it'd still be on Mount Rushmore, all right? Okay. On a singular Mount Rushmore. Right.
Is that preservation? Is that founding?
That's defacing, I think, is what that is.
Defacing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know when to say this, but I'll go ahead and do it now. I was thinking about it about an hour ago before we started this. Most of the people in my life, other than family and work, that I communicate with on a regular basis are because of Bonnaroo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm.
Really?
I mean, yes.
There's a lot of truth to that.
Everybody
on
this podcast right now is because of Bonnaroo.
Well, that's because it's a Bonnaroo podcast.
Well, that's a really good point. I didn't think of that.
I mean, if we were talking about Wes Anderson movies, I could understand that you would be like, wow, this is crazy. I've got all these people via Bonnaroo.
That's a solid point. I'll give you that one. No, I'm serious, though. It occurred to me that most of the people that I communicate on a regular basis with, other than family and work, are because of Bonnaroo. And that, I don't know. I mean, maybe you guys are different, but I don't know if that's good, bad, you know, sad, whatever.
I've made what I would say are lifelong friends. Thanks to Bonnaroo.
Well, I'll tell you, one person in particular is in my life because of Bonnaroo. It's Evan Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
He was the first, nice first person.
See how I did that?
The first person. It's like I've been doing this for a while. The first person I met in New York was Evan Bonnaroo. In fact, he helped me choose not to ever live in Jersey. So I can't thank you enough, Evan, for saving my life.
Well, I could have told you that.
Evan, how many times have I been to Jersey?
Five or six now.
Oh, come on. No, it's not been five or six. It's not been five or six. Okay, so the first time I...
Five.
So the first time I went to Jersey, because I had to go over for his birthday party, I texted him and was like, am I going to grow a tail? What are the ramifications of crossing into Jersey?
No, but you're gonna sing only Bon Jovi songs. That's even worse than the tail.
Well, so I brought you down for crawfish, and you love that.
I did find crawfish in Jersey. At least there's that. Yeah, we did. What about you, Evan? This is what, like Bonnaroo 6, 7 for you?
Oh, double that. I've been going.
No, you have not been to 12 Bonnaroos. No way.
Yeah.
Is that right? I don't think that. Is that right?
I've been going.
Oh. His name is Evan Bonnaroo. You think he hasn't been to 12 Bonnaroos?
Well, that's because I couldn't remember his last name.
Yeah, and that's my contact. My contact.
That's how it is in the phone. Yeah, it shows up.
Yeah. So, I've been okay, going every year since 20.
Even when they didn't have that drove to the farm.
That's really, why would you do that? You're in Jersey. Why would you drive all the way?
I was on a road trip and driving. I was on a road trip driving by. But.
Oh, okay. All right. So after all of this year, take the Foo Fighters out. Where is this year rank for you?
I think it's number one, even besides that.
Wow.
I was camping with the Rubus people and group camp of 150. That was my first time ever doing group camping, and almost everything was seamless. We had the monkey bar there. Getting in,
nothing wrong with that. Yeah, that's great.
They were super accommodating for us.
Power and stuff.
Yeah. So even like we were all kind of like looking at each other. It was like best one.
I love the idea. I love the idea that this is the first year you did group. What did you do in the years past?
Just drive down with 2 to 4 or 5 cars and with my friends.
Gotcha. And so you're all in on group now.
I might be, yeah. I do like the idea of camp before you get there, because there's a lot of planning, like what time to drive it,
where you're going
to
be
based on that, and there's not a lot of data points to...
That's true.
You've mentioned two words, and I can see Brian shaking his head, and he's going to know probably what they are: anxiety and seamless, right? I mean, Brian and I have talked about, we have anxiety for the 2 weeks leading up to it every year, and seamless. And this year I had no anxiety and everything was seamless. For people who don't always go, what do you mean by that, Evan? I mean, I know what we mean, but what do you mean by both of those?
Well, am I going to be camped close? Am I going to be camped really far? Is 5 minutes to drive in? Is it going to take 6 hours? So there's...
Or are you going to be denied? Like there's something wrong with your application or your ticket or whatever, right? That's what always gets us.
There's variables that you don't know until you're in that position.
Yeah.
Like where you can't get any information really until you're there.
In what moment do you actually say, okay, I'm here, I can let go now? Is it after you set up camp? As soon as you go through security?
Drive through security.
Yeah. Brian is not like that. Brian still thinks something else, the other shoe's going to drop at some point. Even when he's through.
Well, because normally you're running around like a madman with police tape trying to, like, you're marking off a crime scene. And I'm like, this is not okay, Brad. We can't do this.
Brian, based on the women you bring back to camp, it is a crime scene.
Sometimes they were already there. I didn't bring them there.
Yeah, he's not picky. He sees that yellow tape and he's thinking, hey.
All bets are off.
He's not picky. He's not picky. He literally, I've looked all around this camp and you're the best I've found. So come on in.
Somebody's already marked this off. Yeah.
Just look for the crime scene tape.
Boy,
opportunity.
Brian,
some people see opportunity.
You've got a discernible palate, I will say, Brian. A very, very fine palate. When do you finally let go, Brian? When do you say, I'm here, I can rest and relax?
Once we know for sure where our actual real estate is, once I feel confident that our boundary, whether it is an actual police line tape, that's not a joke, you did that for years, or the imaginary line that I can see, which this year I was there late. Taco was there a month in advance, so we were able to seek it all out. Immediate anxiety relief, because it was already there, it was ready to go. And so,
I think Evan nailed it, right? It was seamless. We talked about that last week. This was the easiest one ever.
So easy.
Evan, you're the closest thing we have to a GA camper. So, did you hear anything out there about problems, things that you would normally say, like, oh my God, did you hear that there are lines for the ice that took 2 hours? I haven't heard a single problem as far as the infrastructure is concerned of the operation.
Nothing there was, I know, one isolated incident in pod where there was an explosion of the bathrooms.
I'm sorry?
Yep, I heard about that.
Okay.
Fecal matter running through people's campsites.
Oh my God! Excuse me.
You didn't hear about this?
No, I have not heard about this. Tell me all about it.
Yeah, I saw the video.
That's all I know, but
yeah.
Wow.
Pod two had a porta potty incident, and there was sewage flowing.
Pod number two had a number two. Is that what you're saying?
Pod number two had a lot of number twos.
So how big did this start like going? Like how wide did it go? How many people was it affecting?
I don't know for sure.
Man, you're a really terrible on-site reporter.
Well,
you know that?
If it affects more than one.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, one is enough.
Yeah.
That's a bad day if that's coming into your tent.
I wonder if like the people, the Bonnaroo people, the C3 or the Live Nation people hear about something like that and they try to search that person out and do anything they can to be like, oh, here's some free tickets.
They offered them a free shower and a free meal pass or something.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
We can do better than that.
It's a start.
Yeah, it is a start.
Probably going to need a free sleeping bag and a free tent and shoes. Yeah.
Yeah. I would imagine Ham, too, would say vibes are not high. Not high.
No, those are pretty low vibes. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very mid vibes. Vibes are mid. All right. So let's jump into favorite shows. Brian, your immediate impressions when you came back now, maybe 2 weeks removed. Where did you find your love? What shows? What experiences?
Just quickly, just to run through the weekend of just favorites to throw them out there real quick. Portugal the Man was fabulous. Tyler Childers, I had a lot of hopes for, and I really like the music. I've listened to it a lot recently, but I don't know because I haven't been in this exact position in a long time. This tent is too damn close to the witch. And if you get in the wrong spot towards, if you're facing the stage to the right, the bleed factor, especially with a slower tempoed artist like Tyler Childers, that was pretty annoying. And I was in pretty good position, and this tent was bleeding badly. So that kind of messed up that experience overall, but it was still fun. You guys talked about it last week. No reason to spend much more time on it. The Korn show was all the talk, but you guys spent a whole segment on that, and you said
why did you like
it? Said everything there is to say.
Well, really, I kind of keyed to you because I heard your take on it on your podcast. I mean, and I think you said it as well as anybody. It was a great set. It was a perfect set, right? I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it was everything you wanted it to be and more. And I just thought that was interesting.
Well, Brad, you'll probably like this a little bit to a certain level, is that, yes, it was, I believe, the perfect set. And I'm only a peripheral, casual fan of this band. Never cared about them all that much. But I've been around them my whole life, especially, 20 years ago when everybody I knew loved them so much. And I was just shocked. Front to back, it was a banger from front to back. I couldn't get enough of it. But this kind of goes back to where I would be me a little bit and be a jerk about the McCartney show and talk about, oh, my God, he opened with Live and Let Live or Live and Die. Live and Let Die. Yeah, no shit, guys. He does it every week. He did it in Memphis last week. Wow, I'm so excited. Well, the Korn show is the same set on this tour every night. Kind of.
And how many, by the way, how many of those sets have you seen on this tour?
Of Korn's?
Yeah.
Zero.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't matter what they did last night.
I told you you would appreciate this, and yes, it doesn't. You're right. You win, damn it.
It is an interesting question, and we probably could spend a whole episode on it.
Well, we're going to. We're going to talk about this very problem with Evan about Foo Fighters here in a bit.
I could chime in on that as well.
Everyone has an opinion, and none of them are right or wrong. I've been talking about this for 37 years.
Are right.
You know, does a comedian tell his best joke or does he leave it out? I mean, what do you do? What do you do?
By the way, that's such a specific number, 37 years.
Yes.
That's when you know exactly when you form that opinion And it was 37
That's how long
years
I worked
ago.
At my former job at a newspaper. Oh, okay. Yes.
Got it. That's what the marker
professionally
okay.
for 37 years.
Okay. But, so then who else other than Childress and Korn?
Matt Mason was fun on Friday. I mean, as always, I don't see enough music for your taste, Brad. I didn't sit at camp all weekend like you think I do.
Well, that's a stutter.
A stumble on find was the band Camino. I'd never heard of them before, but there was enough room to get up close, so I watched 30 minutes of that. Seemed pretty fun. Of course, Brad, you know I had to go see Sheryl Crow. That's always mm-hmm. a fun show. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday, I was there all day, and I had a nice day on Sunday that didn't have to do with music as much. I have some regrets. I missed a lot on Sunday because I was running out of gas. I missed Paramore, and that was a bad move on what? My part. That was a bad move on my part. But I did see Marcus Mumford, and that was a nice lullaby. That was fun to check a nap to.
I was kind of surprised. Like, I didn't expect it to be just Marcus. You know, I don't know what I expected, but it was just Marcus. And I thought he sounded great, though.
Just Marcus. It did sound fine, and it was very sleepy.
Well, I think that yeah. I think you'll have the sons to join him next year at Bonnaroo. I think that they're going to be back,
which I'm a fan
from
of.
Everything that I've heard.
Yeah, I'm a fan of. But I mean, a couple others I stumbled around and watched for a few minutes early on Friday. Morgan Wade, who I thought was probably some country singer that, you know, threw racial slurs out regularly. No, she's not that at all.
it's Morgan
no,
Wade. Did you like that show, that Morgan Wade show?
I thought it was fine. Yeah, I thought it was fine. I mean,
let Dad go. Let Dad go.
It was on the
Taco
it was
with
on
the win.
It was on the Witch stage early, and it was the weather was cooperating, so it felt great. So the circumstances were good. I'm not saying the show was great. I'm saying the time. The time.
That's like confusing
great.
Mr. T with Mike Tyson. Who would do that?
He's ever done that. No one has ever confused the two, ever.
And then the one that I did want to speak to you, Brad, because I text you at the time. Hey, should I go see Noah Kahan? Not. You know, and you knew why I was asking. Do you think I will like it? Not do you want me to like it? And you said yes. And I have I don't have though being there my whole life, I don't have the experience at some of these stages that maybe you guys and many people listening and watching this do, who are weekend warriors. But that's the biggest overflow crowd I have ever seen at a tent for Noah Kahan in the evening on Friday night. I have never seen that much. I mean, it was for the this was at the that tent, and so that road, which is now paved, that cuts through there, the walkway, it was 20, 30, 40 deep past that road to get anywhere near what would be considered a spot to see the show. I couldn't believe it, so I couldn't really tell if the show was good. I talked to a guy in a Braves jersey about liquor and beer distribution during that show.
You do what you do.
Yeah. You are a one-trick pony. You do know one thing and one thing only.
But I tried. I tried.
So I kind of think you check that in. You should check that in. All right, so the thing about the Noah Kahan thing is I knew it was going to be big, but I think that the thing that's so surprising is where did this come from? You know, I bet 80% of the people that were there only heard of him a month before.
I don't know. I mean, you and I watched that one because I didn't get to go. That was Friday night, so I wasn't on the farm yet. So I was watching on Hulu, and looked like everybody there knew every word to every song. So,
I'm sure you guys have talked about this at some point. They took the screens away from the outside of the tents.
Yeah. That's what I heard.
Don't know what the hell? What the hell are they doing?
I don't know what's up with that. Too bad.
Yeah, that's a big miss. That's a really big miss.
All right, so Evan, thanks for joining us, and I think we're done.
Now I want to hear Evan's highlights. Evan, do you share some of the same sentiments? I'm sure you were a big Tyler Childress fan.
Yeah. So, the quick list of the highlight shows. Wednesday, we had a big secret set for Cher. So that was a big party. Diarrhea Plant. Awesome. I caught JP Sacco on Friday, a morning, afternoon. Then Portugal the Man. just talked about. The Midnight? They sounded awesome. They were probably my biggest.
The Midnight?
Yeah. The.
What stage? Kind of a, were they?
They were on this tent
at like.
Okay.
Around Friday.
All right. I have a lot of questions I want to come back to you about, but go ahead.
Yeah, so they're a band that you listen to them and you're like, this might not translate that well live because they have a very full. You imagine one guy, like a singer and a keyboard player, and it's a very full set. Yeah. Executed on that. Mm. Wolfpack after that. Checked out Diesel for probably half the set, which was, you know, just.
A what was the Diesel set like?
Don't make me come down there, right?
Yeah.
Don't make me come down there.
I mean, I suspect he hits play and yell for 3 hours.
Uh-huh.
But it's very dumb. And you'll yell things. So,
yeah.
It was about 2:30 in the morning, and I turned to my friend Skyler. I think we caught everything we're gonna see here. So.
Uh-huh. Can I ask a legitimate question about that? Because I didn't realize that Shaq was gonna be there till the last minute. And I think, did you just say Brad hit play? Is he really even doing anything up there, or is he just a hype man? Like, is he actually doing anything?
I was so far back, it's hard to tell. I couldn't even see him, to be honest. I was behind.
He's the best hype man ever. Like, he's the most perfect hype man.
He's a good one.
He's hilarious. He's like, you want to come on stage with the Diesel?
That's what we heard. That's why I said that. The people in our camp said all he said was, don't maybe come down there, and where's my mosh pit? And then that ginormous wingspan kind of thing. So it was much talked about for sure. So
well, let's just go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off of this. What do you think about the Foo Fighters show? To preface this, by the way, I'm not. How many more days you got? What day are you talking about now?
I just Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, do that.
Yeah, Devin Gilfillian.
He's been very patient. Let him have his. Let him
man,
have.
Man, me and Evan love Devin Gilfillian. I'm glad you like that show. Me and him saw him at the Mercury Lounge, which is a tiny, tiny venue in the city. How was it different on the bigger stage, Evan?
He was just in a great mood. He looked happy to be there. He brought his brother on stage. He was just having a great time. I think like the set list was similar, but you could tell he was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Corey Wong after that. Grizz, not a big. He filled in for Rainbow Kitten Surprise set, and that was a lot of fun.
Covered a few RKS songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, that's nice.
It was a nice gesture.
That is a nice ode. Tip of the cap.
The Super Jam was pretty cool. One of the better ones I've seen.
Did you see Hanson? Because I've asked a couple people, did you see Hanson? Because that's what I care about.
I totally did, but I didn't realize that I was seeing them.
Did they do Bop?
No, they didn't. Not that I
know. Ah!
Come on.
One job, man.
One job.
What other song is somebody going to see Hanson for?
They got one other one, but
what is it?
Barely. I don't remember.
Is it Bop 'em?
Yeah, it's called Not Bop. Well, I'm glad I didn't see it then.
Oh, that really bums me out. Oh, no kidding.
I think they did some other smaller set somewhere. I heard about that, but I don't know for sure. So, at some point.
Wait, you're telling me that Hanson did a smaller set somewhere?
I think that's right.
I know one of the three was part of the in the media area, right? Was part of one of the panels, but that doesn't mean they performed.
I thought they did a small set somewhere, and there is actually an Bop like 2.0. They re-recorded that song in the last like 5 years, so there's that too. So that's a criminal act if they didn't play that somewhere.
100%. You got one job. You nailed it. You got one job. Wow. Okay.
All right, go ahead. What else you got, Evan?
I was front center in the pit for that one, so that was
really.
Yeah.
All right. Was it everything that you wanted it to be? Because someone on this in this call did not think it lived up to their expectations.
They probably could have done a little more to make it a little more special, especially hype cycle for that.
Sure.
But, you know,
I liked it very much.
Who's that someone that you're talking
about?
That
would be Brian? Barry Corder. Barry Corder said, your words were, I think their time is over.
I may have passed for some, is what I said.
I thought it was a little weak.
I said I liked it, but I thought the crowd there, it may have passed for a lot of the people there, is what I said. I liked it very much.
Okay, okay.
It was a fine set, but I thought it was lacking a little oomph, too. I saw 45 minutes of it, so I can't speak to a three-hour show. Being there for 40
They should have done Umbop.
That would have been good.
They didn't do I'm Amazed, which is what you wanted to hear, right, Brian?
My favorite song, but I mean, who cares what I think? But
I thought it was a great set, but from having talked to a lot of people, and especially you mentioned Grizz and Diesel and several of the others, Odessa, it just, I'm not sure it worked for that crowd.
There was a lot of energy going on, and they didn't have as much energy as you expect. And to Evan, I think, great point, especially on this hype, this kind of hype of this record. I just was hoping for a little bit more, but I didn't think it was bad. I'm not trying to say that.
It was not bad. It was just, I'm not sure it was what some people hoped or wanted, but that's all. I loved it. I liked it, and the people I was with loved it. So,
got it. Okay.
It was great seeing 2:30 their scheduled time and the security guard.
Yes, they went another hour. It was 3 hour set. And
that's great.
They could stand to each other and look at each other like that they could play as long as they want. And they just were very upset.
I think we're going to have a similar. Yeah. I think we're going to have a similar conversation about Foo Fighters coming up, maybe, if I'm reading what you're going
and
with,
so and then I watched you basically stand in line for the Foo Fighters all of Sunday,
mostly.
Okay,
the Revivalist pit, and then I looped back around and got right. We had probably at least from our group all established a camp in line, so I just rejoined them.
Jesus. Yeah. Okay. How was by the way, guys, I don't know if you know this, but there's not a bigger fan of the Revivalist than Mr. Evan Bonnaroo. How was the Revivalist set?
They were good.
You guys should see these pictures that Evan took of the Revivalist. I sent them to Zach the other day. Yeah. Oh, he was over the moon about them. Great work. I mean, actual good work. Had something good to say about it.
Great work.
I can never say those words again. No matter what I say, those words never will work ever again.
Yeah, I think their record is really good. I think it's so new that a lot of people didn't know the songs. Played half the record, so. But I, a little bit from their original stuff, where they would really, really jam. A lot. Me and Brad had this conversation offline where it's a lot of it is just 5 minutes. I would like to see them elongate, really jam their songs.
And they probably do outside of festival sets. I mean, if you see them in New Orleans at home, they probably do that still.
I mean, I've seen them 20 times probably. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. They definitely keep their festival sets pretty tight.
Yeah. And you did Paramore? What do you think about Paramore?
I was all the way on the side of the stage, so I couldn't see.
Okay.
This is one of my comments. They need to fix the what stage pit line. Last year there was like a stampede. They need someone to tell people where to stand and where to sit for what band, because it can get a little dangerous when.
Evan, you're preaching to the choir. It's been like that for a decade. I'll never forget the first time in my life where I felt I was legitimately in danger was trying to get into the Macklemore pit the first year that they played, like right when Thrift Shop hit. I was literally, people were jamming us so badly that we were lifted off of the ground.
Yeah.
And one girl fell, and I as the crowd moved, like there's nothing you can do. I was convinced she was going to get trampled to death. It is a scary thing when they open that pit and the rush comes in. It's quite alarming.
Yeah. And diehard, so it depends on the band. So,
mm-hmm.
Like Paramore played right before the Foos. It was mayhem, really. So mm-hmm. they had a little better organization on that front.
I agree. I don't disagree.
All right, can I jump?
Foo Fighters.
Yeah. What do you got, Barry?
I want to ask Evan about the plazas because, as you said, that's sort of he's the. You know, especially you were out there in group, and Russ and I talked earlier. God bless Daniel and Sharla. I mean, I can't imagine doing all the work they did, and you were
so
part
much
of that.
Work. My
so
God.
Much work. I'm exhausted.
I bitch about setting up camp.
Me too. And I went
halfway through. I just say, Barry, just do the rest.
I'm done. I can't. Yeah. Russ and Brian and I did two interviews, and you know. It's so stressful making sure we're there on time and hooking up. I can't imagine what all they did. But so what was that? I mean, you actually still, Evan, saw a lot of shows in Centaru. So talk about the plazas a little bit. What was it like out there?
I mean, I was busy. That show I saw was like Kingfish because they were just walking by us. Or I was walking to the bathroom. The Cracker Barrel there. I also caught I Am Bonnaroo, David Bruce session over there.
How was that?
Love that guy.
Yeah, he takes three photos of you and
all nice. So
we'll see how those come
out. Oh, that's great.
He came by Camp Nut Butter on Saturday. Saturday evening, Saturday. Right, Russ?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to have him on the show to talk about that. That is such a great,
great
story. Yep.
That's great. So, wait, before you go any further, what was the Cracker Barrel thing like?
They had, like, giant versions of, like, their game, like the Peg game, and then they also had every morning they gave out, like, pancake tacos. So there was
every morning. And not a biscuit. I was convinced it was gonna be nothing but biscuits.
Yeah, but
that's great. Okay, yeah. Good for you. That's a great connection, by the way. Years ago they had the Waffle House truck. I don't know what I go for. Like, what do you rank higher, the Waffle House truck or Cracker Barrel experience?
Waffle House
over Cracker Barrel. Really?
Oh yeah. Waffle House over Cracker Barrel.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Depends on the time of day.
That's
really
true.
Does. It really does.
Two different worlds.
Really does. That's a great point. All right. Any other plaza stuff?
I just have to say they were super supportive because we had a couple of DJ events. We did a trivia thing. I think there was a speed dating thing as well. So they've been on our schedule. They were super accommodating. I think more supportive of having the community. So got to give a shout out to them.
It seems that way. Yeah, it seems
There's
that
no
way.
Question.
Especially since morning. So otherwise, we got nothing to do for.
Yeah, nothing to do. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, what about getting in? Did anybody have any complaints or comments about the tiered system getting in different days, different times, etc.? Did anybody have any like major?
You were
weight?
There a month ago. I mean, you know.
Well, of course, I don't go in the normal GA entrances, but no, I had no trouble at all getting in.
Yeah,
it just
I think the worst I heard
said.
Was
everything. Everything
hours?
This year was seamless. It was perfect. We, you know, no.
How long
no
did you wait, Evan?
Getting in
on Tuesday.
Minutes.
Zero minutes.
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay.
There used to be a 6 hour time period that everyone would get there on Wednesday, and now they've expanded. 12 hours Tuesday, 12 hours Wednesday, and then beyond that. So. Quadrupled the entering amount of time, so that spreads everything out.
And you could go online, and they kind of predicted, you know, these are what we predict to be the peak hours, and so you could kind of adjust, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the good news is it seems to have worked, and it doesn't seem to have mattered to people. I wondered about people showing up on Tuesday. Like you said, well, what are you going to do? But then you've got people like you and Russ who, this is great. You know, I mean, that would have been a nightmare for me. But obviously you guys, you know, made it work, and others did too. So cool. Yeah.
Entry, because you actually get to hang out with all the people that you've been talking about this for Wednesday night. Then the music starts immediately, and then you're trying to see all.
So we kind of hit on that a little bit last week, and again, it goes back to the whole community thing. Russ and I never had any trouble hooking up with people. I mean, I saw everybody I wanted to see.
Neither is Brian.
Me neither.
Yeah. But that was just so interesting that, you know, you get to see the people you want to see in the whole community thing. And I want to bring this up before we with Brian, because and Brad, I kind of hinted at it before, but it was such a weird year. That's not the right word. Brian, this was a first year for you, and you've been very public talking about it. And I know you don't mind talking about it, but this you're sober, right? This was a really sober Bonnaroo, and not just for you, but people in our camp. And I had two or three people come up to me at various times and say, man, I've never been here when there are so many people, not just whatever, blottoed. I don't know. I don't want to understate it, overstate it, whatever. But it was just a different vibe, right? And so I kind of wanted to let you talk about attending for the first time in 20 years with literally a different head, right?
A different mindset. Absolutely. I won't spend too much time on it, but I mean, it was different to a certain degree, but really take out 2002, three, four, five. I'm very young at that time and do, you know, and have no filter whatsoever. But really, you know, late into the 2000s and on, I drink a lot at night once the evening was winding down, but I really didn't during the day. So, like, the daytime was not really different at all for me, but I've been a regular drinker my entire life, and I put an end to that with medical help earlier this year. And I was concerned about it, just like I've been concerned about a lot of things that I used to do. And pleasantly, surprisingly, finding out that life goes on, and it goes on pretty well and pretty damn good without it. And we did have another campmate, Tara, who's now a couple years sober, and it really is almost a trend. I don't know if sweeping the nation, but of you know, NA beers are more prevalent where you go. Mocktails are all the rage. That's just all coincidental and circumstantial that this has happened at the time that I'm deciding to do it. I really, really embraced it, and I've embraced the whole thing. And the Sobrew people, shout out to them. Camp Sobrew, who they do shows all across the country. Right. I don't know if this is their biggest gathering or time with them. It's it's something possible. Not only is it possible, it's pretty easy. It's actually really easy, and that makes it that much more fun to talk about. Sometimes I know I can, you know, chew somebody's ears off but it was very much different experience macro overall, but from a day to day, 4 o'clock on a Saturday, really wasn't that much, but it made the nighttime certainly a different time. I wouldn't change it for anything, and I remember every damn
day. There you go.
Every bit of it. And that is so great. That is so great, because so many of those other shows, Brad, you mentioned something, or you were on your way.
I don't remember what you were saying earlier
this hour. Yeah, so many. Was the show good? I don't know if the show is any good. Did I have fun? Yes, honestly, I had fun. Was the show good?
Brian,
I don't know.
Brian, I've seen some of the things you've done at Bonnaroo. It's okay that you've forgotten them. It's okay you don't remember most of them.
I will not disagree with that. I will not disagree with that thought. But
I brought it up because obviously it's a big part of Brian's life now. But I brought it up because it was a big part of Bonnaroo, Brad. I mean, it wasn't just Brian and I talking about it. It came up many, many times with a lot of different people. It's a different. That's not to say there weren't people there, you know, doing what we're accustomed to.
Bombed out of their head everywhere. But God bless them,
good for you. That's the right place. As I've always said, I wish I did drugs because that's the right place to do them.
Do you think it has something to do with that the weather was better? Because most of the time when you hear some of this crashing and burning is because it's gotten so hot. And
one year is not enough to say, but I mean, like I said, it wasn't just in our camp. It came up several times. Our friend Nate came by and he was like, I've never seen so many sober people in here. And we had a conversation about that. So I don't know, you know, next year could be completely different, but I just thought it was worth mentioning. And I don't know, Evan, if you saw that out in the plazas or not.
I can promise you, Evan did not see that.
It was a little different, I bet.
Well, just to say what you're saying, Brian, I think nationwide scale, I think I've definitely seen more mocktails and non-alcoholic stuff. So, Brent, I think there is definitely a trend going around.
Yeah. And the other thing to add to that is that mental health is such a part of the conversation these days. And they kind of go hand in hand.
And they go together. Very much they go together.
So it was really interesting to see it be part of the festival. And I just wanted to mention it. And I know, and Brian, I'm very proud of you. You've been very public about all of this. And so I wanted to bring it up.
Well, let's not forget. I mean, and it is something to applaud Brian for, but let's also remember Brian loves attention. So
whatever, but this is good attention.
He's going to love it.
This is good attention and good for you. So
all right, yeah. That's rich, Brad. I love attention. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Right.
Especially coming from Brad. Black on that one.
Yeah. Okay. Don't know what you're talking about. Mr. Humble over here.
And one other thing, I know we've been live on this, and I know Russ is monitoring it. Do we have comments? Anything worth reading? We got questions.
I sent you the comments. Yeah,
I know, and I told you. I looked at them in my.
Don't ask Dad to do anything technical.
I'm not clicking over because last time I did, all I could hear was YouTube cat videos. So you guys don't need to hear that. So I'm asking you: do we have any or no?
Well, while you look at that,
we have a bunch.
Oh, well, read some. What I'm asking you. Oh one God. Job. One see? Job.
I sent you one job. You have one job.
Don't make We've me come down there. Don't make right me now. Come down there.
All right.
This is quite comments. Literally, you're basically reading our text thread right now. Going back and forth. I'm just sitting here. I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea.
Killing me.
All right. Taco, you want to go ahead with these so we can get these out of the way?
Let's hear some comments. Yeah.
Okay. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Never mind.
So excited.
Never mind. All right. I'm telling you.
Is Taco, are you going to read them?
Read what?
Read what?
I just said, let's hear some comments. Let's hear them. Read them.
So, Evan, tell me about the Foo Fighters. You're the biggest Foo Fighter
anything
fan.
Right now.
You're the biggest Foo Fighter fan on the planet. I want your unadulterated review of Foo's at Rue for the first time ever.
Yeah. I
most disappointing act.
So I was in the pit for it. I was dead center, about eight people back. A bunch of us.
Jeez, y'all.
The show energy wise was.
Who's on first?
Is
Taco locked up? Do you think Taco's locked up?
Kendrick for me was very mad. I'm reading comments. That's what you asked me to do.
Oh, well, we're talking about Evan about Foo Fighters now. Well, hang on to the comments. We'll get to the comments here in a second.
When did this thing go off the rails so bad?
Well, you read the comments then.
Okay. All right, Evan, continue.
Yeah.
So, your view of the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, all the way through. It was a great show. I know. Kind of a similar thing to My Morning Jacket. I would have liked to see special for Brad. We've had this conversation, but I've heard I had other friends and I've never seen so much energy all the way through the back of the crowd.
it probably helps that everyone single song that they played. And we were probably expecting a little more from that. So there's probably a number of reasons for that. They're getting back on their feet with it. But they don't have, I think they have a pretty limited scope of what. I think they're also going to try to keep their tour schedules brutal. So I think, you know, playing 2.5 hours every night instead, probably a better decision, especially since caught a little bit of shit for.
Well, I mean, they did have Haley come out. I mean, that is something special for, you know, 4 lines of the chorus. So that was something. But it is, if you look at, and I know we talked about this earlier, Brian, about you didn't go to the show last night. So what is, you know, tonight's set list matter? It is the exact same set list every night. And to the point that the Foo Fighters show at Bonnaroo was the shortest set that they've played this entire run. That's the most startling part of it. And
there was
a storm
coming down. They had to quit.
The whole thing that we knew all day that there was going to be a storm. And as soon as they turned off, there was an exodus of Bonner, and there was massive lightning.
It was that quickly. It was it was that on top of you. Okay. All right. Okay. Then I'll go to my second second nit to pick. There wasn't one time where, and I don't know why I expected this, but I sort of did for some reason. Not one mention of it being their first time ever playing Bonnaroo and saying, wow, I can't believe we haven't done this yet. Like that. That was really surprising to me.
The whole set's rehearsed, from what I can tell. I'm a huge Foo Fighters fan. The whole set was rehearsed, and that was a little disappointing to me as well. But I'll just, you know, that I wasn't there. I've only watched it since. I left right as it started, and I thought I'd regret that. I don't regret missing that show. I've seen them 7-8 times, so it's not that big a deal to me.
I think what are some of our expectations would have fit the 2020 a lot better.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
It's a great point.
I don't know if I heard this right, but I think Dave at some point during the show this year was like, here and play the, what he didn't say it right, but he was like, we'll play Where in the Woods next year. I think that was a little nod to, you know, him hinting that they had end in 21.
I don't know, man. And he also says that every show, we got a lot of songs, we're gonna be here all night, and they're not. So
how would he know about the Woods stage though?
Well, I was totally convinced, based on a few comments here and there from people that I trust, that there was going to be something happening in 2021 that that they were going to do. And I think that your point is exactly right about our expectations for this year really are the expectations that met 2021 that we never actually got to fulfill. So you're probably right about that. I'm probably holding over all of those things that I thought about then, and using them for a day and time that is completely different. Not only do they have, you know, it's basically a different band, but you're right. They are getting older, and they're packing on these shows that are they're doing 60 dates. They've got a lot of tour dates that, and they can't just keep going 3 hours deep every night. Sustainability there.
In 21, they were scheduled on a Friday night too. That is different than the Sunday night. Bonnaroo's kind of they're done on Sunday night. Once that final sets, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, we kind of talked about that. You got staff and all that we don't consider, unions and all that. They got to move on. So who knows?
And also, the routing of their schedule is they've been to Europe twice in the past month.
Oh my God.
Yeah, wasn't he at the Pretenders, right? Christy Hine, like 4 days later or something, with McCartney, Grohl, and all that.
Then went to Germany, then came back from Bonnaroo, and then a week later they went to. So they're routing up their schedules.
Jesus. Jesus, that's unbelievable. And the fact that they would do that Atlanta show that we went to is so incredible, because they basically did it for free. So they did all of this jumping only for a free show for 400 of us. Totally crazy. All right. Do we want to settle? So you still loved it, though. You still loved it as the Foo Fighters.
Me personally, it kind of sealed the deal on probably the top artist that I want to see up on Room. So it was kind of like the last real checkbox for me.
There's really nobody else, huh? There's nobody else that's on the wish list.
Probably Mayer on a solo show, but there's probably a long shot on that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Brian, is there anybody on your wish list that you've never seen?
I was just thinking that as you said it. And I mean, other than I immediately flash back to the 2020 lineup, which is the greatest festival lineup in the history of all festivals. Miley Cyrus is never going to be on a wish list of mine that I just make out real quick. But boy, I was looking forward to that, you know, 3 years mm-hmm. ago. But for mm-hmm. me personally, just from music that I've listened to my whole life, they've damn near all been there. I mean, it's pretty damn close to literal that they've all already been there. Is there somebody? Mm-hmm. Sure. I'm not going to think of it quickly.
Well, I mean, for me and Barry, it's Dolly. But, yeah. You know, that's a pretty easy putt. And even
somebody
even
said
if
Gaga.
I'd like to see Taylor Swift. I really would like to see that.
She
show.
Won't make any money at Bonnaroo.
I know. That's the thing. The people on my list is Bonnaroo where I want to see them. Van Morrison. You know, I don't want to see Van Morrison at Bonnaroo. He's going to be pissed off.
He'd be miserable. He'd be so miserable. Yeah. I know.
It'd be awful. That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah. In 20 years, they've covered it for me almost. I mean, again, yeah. I'm sure there's somebody I'm not thinking of, but.
Yeah.
So I mentioned, I got to read, Dan Park commented and, thanks for commenting. He said, says the podcast where half of them, I assume he means half, weren't there and one left for a kitty cat. Jeez.
Yeah,
so he's talking about
hater.
You not being there and me leaving because I had to go home and put my cat down because it was 18 years old and dying. So you're not wrong. You know, we weren't there. I agree, but whatever. That's what happened.
Well, there was 16 years before that I spent plenty of time and paid the dues.
I still think I know
years.
What I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I was there for a month, you know.
And Taco was there for the entire time. So
yeah, he just got home. Yes.
Yeah, he mowed the grass on his way out.
Right.
So I feel
You're
okay.
Welcome. You're
feel
welcome,
okay
by
about
way.
It. Yeah. He's four. Yeah, locked up the gate. So, whatever.
Mowed the grass on the way out. it's so good. Anything else you want to poke at there, Barry? Any other comments before we go?
Ooh, no, I think we covered everything.
Okay.
We still have a lot to talk about. We want to have David Bruce on. We want, and he's got another.
Yeah, we're not ready to go.
No, we have more to talk about. And he had another person he shared with us that we want to have on. And so we have a lot of shows. So
one other real quick experience from this weekend that I've never done and never thought after this year I would have done. I think it's at the Art of Living. I did a guided meditation while I was there, which Brad, seriously, come on.
I know. Right? I know. I'm stunned. Then when I see you on a yoga mat, that's when I'm going to be.
I'm telling you.
It's over.
It was a different Brian
Stone. It's over for me.
It was a different Brian Stone.
I mean, I'm the same old jerk, dumb, weird guy you've ever met, but I'm also not as bad.
Yeah. You actually are kind of interesting to speak with every now and then. Hey, so that's different.
I wouldn't go that far.
I said every now and then.
I don't know about it all. This has gotten a little crazy.
No, we had a great – it was a great, great weekend.
Yeah, I loved it.
Good.
I absolutely loved it.
Good. Good. Well, I'm so happy to see you, Brian. Evan, I'll see you in an hour. Barry, Taco, for all that joined us on the live show.
You're leaving? Are you leaving?
Yeah, it's time to go. It's time to wrap up.
We're not going to do a bus update? Nothing like that?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, and
I
wanted to ask that, Evan, did you say everything you wanted to say?
Yeah, we're not done.
We kind of talked over Evan, I feel like.
We're done. We're done.
Good, because I heard all I wanted to hear. I was done. But I do want to hear about the bus real quick.
Yeah, Taco.
Real
get up in
quick.
Get up in the guts. Tell me about the bus. What's going on?
We just got back from St. Louis late last night with an engine in tow. We trailered it all the way back from St. Louis.
Okay.
So
now you put the engine back in the bus, and then you head back to Manchester.
That's right. Yeah, we're gonna have immediately done just in time for Bonnaroo. Yeah.
Okay.
No, man. He literally called. I was hoping to have it ready for Bonnaroo this year, and he literally called me Monday morning as I was like packing up, and said, "It's pretty much done. So come get it."
Great.
So just in time. Yeah.
You happy with it? Everything looks okay. I don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about this, so I'm just going to say something generic. Everything good?
Well, you saw, I sent a picture of it to you.
Oh, I know, but I don't know what I'm looking at.
Well, it's an engine. What am I supposed to say? Yeah. It's literally a engine on the floor. So I guess you'll know once you get it in, right?
Yeah, we're gonna slap it in here real soon. I'm gonna say next week or so.
My man. All right.
So look for some updates there.
I can't wait. Are you wearing a Pringles T-shirt?
This is my Bonnaroo T-shirt that I bought from Jello Man.
Oh, I'm telling you, was it not a free shirt?
This one was not. It was $20,
guys. This came with
the Jello shot.
I'm telling you, this is the big news of the day. Taco's wearing a shirt that was not given to him for free.
I bought two shirts. What do you mean?
Did you really? What's the other shirt that you bought?
The Bonnaroo shirt. You saw it last week.
Oh, that's the last week's shirt. Okay. All right, because every other shirt that you've ever had is a promo shirt that somebody gives you, and it's now part of your immediate wardrobe forever.
Wow. Speaking of Bonnaroo shirts,
speaking of this Bonnaroo shirt, look at Evans. I'm a Gene and Willie. 80. Yeah, that's a good one. All right, I got it.
Yeah, I spent $20 on a Jello shot and got the shirt for free.
My man.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Inexpensive Jello shot. Jello shot.
I've lost
it. Is really? Yeah. Well, welcome
you guys.
Welcome to about 10:08 for me.
You guys are done?
You're a pro.
Yes, Taco. It is time to go.
We never got to the riveting comment section. What about the comment section?
Barry read the one great comment.
Yeah, and he was right.
Trashes you two.
What else?
I was kidding. I don't care about the comment section.
I don't know anybody sitting around waiting for them to read comments.
I'm not either.
Okay.
Well, what are you in such a hurry to go do? What do you got to do?
It is 11:11. It is time to go. Taco, we've been here for 70 minutes, 71 minutes.
What do you got to do?
Content. I got a lot to do.
What's the rest of your day plan?
Evan, we do this every week if you're interested.
Yeah.
I can't imagine why you would be.
He's not.
And Brad, this is a taste of your own medicine from Taco here. Every time back in the day, I got to go. What do you got to do?
What do you
got
to do?
What is so important you got to be at?
Yeah.
I don't know. Something not with you, Brad. How about that?
Right. Well,
this got silly.
Evan and I go dive bar hopping every Saturday around about now. So we got
to
go.
Go to standings. Go to standings and hate on the Mets for me.
I will. Absolutely. Every day. Love you guys. Thanks for joining us on the YouTube. I appreciate the YouTube comments. I'm sorry. RIP. But thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. Like, subscribe, do all the things that help us. We will hopefully help you. All right. That's all I got.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye.
All right. See ya.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.